Hi, everybody. This is Karen Carmichael, and I am back after a summer of traveling. Today, I am joined by someone who has had a tremendous impact on our city's continued growth and vitality, Jason Mathis, CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership. If you've spent any time downtown lately, you've seen just how much St. Pete continues to evolve. From new businesses and events to public spaces and community initiatives, the Downtown Partnership has been at the center of many of those conversations, and Jason has helped lead the way. Today, we'll catch up on what's happening downtown, what's on the horizon, some of the opportunities and challenges facing our city, and how the partnership is working to keep downtown St. Pete a place where people want to live, work, visit, and invest. Okay, so let's just jump right in then.
Okay.
All right. The historic gas plant district is a once-in-a-generation project, and most likely it's going to be a 20-year plan. So beyond the stadium logistics, what's the single most critical deliverable the partnership wants to ensure gets done right for the future of St. Petersburg's urban core?
Well, you wanted to start with a very complicated question because it's a big project
and
lots of emotion, lots of baggage going back 20 years, 40 years really, thinking about the historic Black community that was displaced. So there are a couple things we care about. One is that we work with a group or entity that has the capacity to deliver this. So we don't think this is amateur hour. We don't think this is something we can just do on our own. Mm-hmm. We really need to make sure that we're partnering with people who have the financial capacity to do it, and also the urban planning, the development understanding to really make this happen. We also know that over 20 years, as you said, it's going to change. So the things that we think of are as really important right now may be different in 5 years or 10 years. You think about how different St. Petersburg was 10 years ago and how much we've changed just in 10 years. So one of the things that we think is important is that there's some flexibility built into the plan. You know, right now we think office space is really important. That's something we've been talking about for a long time. And maybe then in 10 years, everybody works from their home. Maybe offices go away. So that should be built into the plan. We care about parking right now. 10 years from now, maybe we'll be in autonomous vehicles and people will just drive around in sort of Ubers, but, you know, they'll all be autonomous. We have to be very flexible to that. So those are the kinds of things we think about in terms of, like, a specific thing that has to happen. We agree that there are 5 or 6 things that have been delineated over the past decade make a lot of sense. We care about honoring the history of the site and recognizing the historic gas plant. We care that green space is emphasized and that Booker Creek is revitalized and that we make that a priority. We care that there's housing for all income types, so we think that there should be some market rate housing and also some workforce housing and affordable housing. The best communities have a wide variety of housing. And we've got a chance to start from scratch to make sure all these things happen. We think it should be reintegrated into the grid system. That's one of the best things about our urban skeleton, is the grid system that works so well to make it so walkable. But these aren't new ideas. These are the same ideas we've had for 10 years. But the most important thing, I think, is that we pick partners who can develop this, who have the financial capacity and the sort of global leadership, and that we allow for some flexibility over time as our community needs change.
So it does seem like the people that have gotten the contract are really trying to reach out to residents and stakeholders in general.
Yeah, right? I think that's true. I think it's a local team, but they brought in the Related Group, which has done a ton of work, very competent. And then their financial backers are people who, you know, can write a check for $1 billion and execute. And I think that both of those things are really important to ensure. And that doesn't mean that the community is giving up control. That just means that we're partnering with people who have done something on this scale before.
Now you are looking at the downtown land use regulations again and are suggesting another overhaul designed to plan for the next 20 years also. What is the biggest zoning hurdle currently slowing down smart growth, density, and workforce housing, and how do we fix it without losing St. Pete's distinct vibe?
Yeah, that's,
which is always a problem,
that's,
right?
Yeah.
That's the complaint.
I think of it as an opportunity, right? Because we all love this place so much, and we all chose to live here for a specific reason, and it's different for everybody. But I think, you know, I always tell people when I talk to a group, I start out by saying, how many people love St. Pete? And every hand goes up. And that doesn't happen in every community. So preserving that is really important. It's interesting. We realized that we have not done a comprehensive zoning update for downtown in many, many years. So the Grand Central District did one. The Innovation District did one. There was one for District 2, which is in North St. Pete. But the heart of our city has not had a zoning update. And a lot of the zoning plans are fairly archaic. They're things that were developed in the 90s, the early 2000s. They've served us well. So I'll just tell you a little bit. Initially, we thought that we should do a master plan for downtown. And we talked to Derek Kilbourn, who's in charge of planning for the city. And he said, why do you want to do a master plan? A master plan is going to take 3 years. It's going to cost $500,000. If you know the things that you think need to be fixed now, why don't we just do that? And we said, okay, that's great. So we started surveying people and asking people like the Downtown Neighborhood Association, the Downtown Business Association, developers, residents, business owners, what do you think? Like, what would be some changes? And to your point, Karen, this is such an important point to make. What we want to do is emphasize the things that make St. Pete special now. So you think about what do we love about it? One thing people love is local retail. We're very lucky to have such dynamic and diverse local retailers in St. Pete. A lot of them are getting priced out. Some of that's just market forces that we can't control. But what if there were things we could do with zoning to make it more affordable for local retailers to be able to have their shops? Mm-hmm. And somebody, you know, one thing I love about this place is somebody has a crazy idea. A lot of places people would come to you and say, oh, that'll never work. You can't do that. Or, oh, we tried that 20 years ago. Or somebody tried to steal it. Somebody has a crazy idea here. People are like, great, that's cool. How can I help? And that's a very interesting cultural thing of our city.
That is so true. Yes.
So we want to create more opportunities for local businesses to be successful. So one of the things that is, it's a very technical thing, changing the way that streets are labeled so that more streets have to provide retail on the base floor as new development happens. So we have A streets and B streets. Mm-hmm. We're proposing expanding out the B streets to provide more retail for people. You and I have talked a lot about art. And how do we make sure that art is still enhanced and preserved as a priority for the city? We go around talking about being an art city, and I think in our hearts we are, but we haven't done a great job in terms of the public sector stepping up and supporting art, at least compared to many other cities where art has been prioritized. So we've talked about, are there incentives we could provide to developers who provide for art, either art housing for artists or artists' workspaces or gallery spaces in their buildings? Is there a fund we could put money into so the developers could add additional density to their building if they contribute to an art fund? One of the things we always talk about is how do we enhance the things that we love about this place? And so those are two examples of things that we've thought about for downtown that we think would help to ensure that 10 years from now, the things that we love today are still present and, in fact, maybe even a little bit better than they are right now. That's just a couple of examples.
Yeah. So with projects like the Center for Coastal Resiliency and USF's Marine Science expansion and now the fire, which was a devastating loss, how is the partnership helping St. Pete become a global leader in ocean tech and resiliency? And what does that mean for the local high-wage job growth?
That's a great question. You did your research.
I did. I looked at the website and I said, I don't know how you're not exhausted all the time when I looked at that website.
Well,
I thought, holy cow.
I have a great team of two people. So
you do.
Three people.
Yes, yeah. You absolutely
have a good
do.
Team. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't know the Downtown Partnership has a long history and relationship with marine science. So one of the projects we do is maintenance on the U.S. Geologic Survey building that's in downtown St. Pete. And that provides a revenue source for the organization, but it also links us to the College of Marine Science and the marine science cluster that's here. And because it's kind of on its own in the peninsula, we really have an incredible cluster of marine science, but most people in St. Pete are not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the USF College of Marine Science, Florida Fish and Wildlife is located here. NOAA has their administrative offices here. We have the USGS facility that we help to maintain, and lots of private sector entities. A lot of them are in the Maritime and Defense Technology Hub. So one of the things that we've worked with the Innovation District on is expanding this hub where they've got 17 to 20, maybe more than that, maybe even 27. I might be getting the number wrong, but they've got a lot of businesses there who are startup businesses. And our idea is there's a parking lot that is next to the hub, owned by the city, on a deep water port, Right now, it's just an asphalt surface parking lot surrounded by a chain link fence.
Yeah, I walk past it every day with my dog.
Not the highest best use of waterfront property in our city.
Absolutely.
So on the ballot this year, there's going to be a question for people to say, could we expand the lease for the Port of St. Pete, which would give us the ability to do a new 50,000 square foot research facility that we're calling the Center for Coastal Resilience on that site. It would be for academic, government, for-profit, and nonprofit researchers who are all focused on resiliency for cities like St. Pete. Like, how can we plan ahead when big storms come, when there's flooding, just on a sunny day flooding? There are a lot of issues coastal communities are facing, and this would be a research facility to look at that. We worked with the Innovation District and helped to raise about $30 million in prospective money to build this facility, but we need to have a lease longer than right now. The port will allow us to have a lease of 10 years. For our financing, it needs to be at least 25 to make sense. People don't want to give us money if we're going to lose it, mm-hmm. the space in 10 years. So that's a really important project, and we think that coupled with the reconstruction of the marine science labs, as you mentioned, from the fire, mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that USF is able to get $120, $150 million to put into the lab space mm-hmm. on that peninsula. And, you know, we've already got this incredible infrastructure and this foundation set for marine science, but we could be one of the greatest marine science research centers in the world, not just the southeastern United States. Mm-hmm. And it's through little incremental projects like the small one that we're doing and then the big one that USF is going to undertake. And then you've got the whole Innovation District is really, they just finished their master plan. They're trying to figure out what their next phase is. But it is really set up in a way to encourage residential, workforce development, workforce housing, and marine science as key components of what that district looks like in the future. And I'm super excited about it, and we're happy to play our small part with the Center for Coastal Resilience.
Well, I'm excited about the wage growth prospects in that field, because I can tell you that as someone who went to USF decades ago, okay, we all felt like now I have to leave.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to make some money, you know, you get a great education at USF,
right?
But then staying local was always really hard.
Yeah, it is a huge economic driver right now. And the wages, to your point, the wages are generally higher than the normal wages. You know, if you're a scientist, mm-hmm. if you're a researcher, if you're an entrepreneur doing research there, that's the whole point is how do we go beyond the basic service level wages, which are great. Like, mm-hmm. we love our servers, we love our bartenders, mm-hmm. we love retail workers. Those are an important part of what makes downtown special, as I said already. But how do we take it to the next level and make sure that there are really great jobs here for people? And marine science is a cluster we can own. The very few other cities have the ability to own this particular industry in the way that we do.
So we're going to wrap things up now. Thank you for spending some time with me
this morning.
But in five words or fewer, what is the biggest mistake cities make when growing as fast as St. Pete is right now? Can you do it in five words?
I can do it. I'm going to do it. I think you've seen, this is be more than five words, but it's a little mm-hmm. context. You've seen cities manage growth in different ways. Like Austin made, I think, some big mistakes and did not plan for infrastructure. Boulder did the opposite. Boulder limited growth, and by doing that, mm-hmm. really changed the culture. They made it so it's impossible for normal people to live and work there. I think the biggest mistake in five words or less is cities don't plan ahead. They don't think about the strengths that they have and the unique positions that they have. Mm-hmm. So they don't take advantage of their unique strengths mm-hmm. and they just let growth happen. Mm-hmm. Or they try to artificially limit growth in ways that that change the culture. And by trying not to grow, it actually screws up all the things that people loved about it in the first place.
Mm. Well, I think with the downtown partnership, keeping an eye on things, that's not going to happen for us here in St. Petersburg.
You're kind to say that. Yeah, you're kind to say that.
So again, I've been speaking with Jason Mathis. He is the CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership. Jason, thanks for joining me today.
I would love to come back anytime you want.
Oh, well, we would love to have you back.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, great. Thanks.